This is Carmen DeFalco on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Carmen and Yurko podcast, presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse with sports betting on lockdown.
Aura fans are returning to America's original sport, that'd be horse racing. Download the Club Hawthorne app and wager on races from around the world at clubhawthorneapp.com.
Thank you, Danny Zetterman. Thank you, Christopher Black, Eric Ostrowski. Thank you to Tracy Butler, Tim Kirkjian. Most importantly, thank you for listening, for all your calls. We're always here for you. The numbers on the horses, Tim on the south side. Race 2, bet the 8, JB's Hero.
This what is track?
Hawthorne.
Tomorrow.
This is all courtesy of Jim Miller for tomorrow night. Race 2, the 8, JB's Hero. Race 6, the 3, Sweet Shady Shark. And race 12, the 1, Fox Valley Halsey.
Fox Valley Halsey. Fox Valley or Valley?
Valley.
Fox Valley. Jimmy will have more horses tonight with me and Mike on Odds Couple, too.
There you go. Look
that's
forward
our
to
guy.
That.
Hawthorne is back open.
Yes. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. That's so great. So great. I'm so bummed because I got so into Breaking Bad.
Yes.
That. I'm watching some Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul's great.
I started it.
You'll love it. Trust me.
It's not as good as.
Stay, talk to me and 3 seasons.
Talk to me, Goose.
Just wait.
So.
I'm telling you, it's just as good or very, very close.
I will tell you, the ending, whoa.
Breaking Bad, yeah, it was fabulous.
Intense.
Yes, it was. So.
Guys, this Sopranos, I'm telling you the way that ends.
Well, no, I didn't like the end of the Sopranos.
I'm making fun of Cap because, like, Breaking Bad ended how many years ago?
6.
And he's talking about it like it ended last week.
Hey,
can I?
What do you want
me
to tell you?
I don't want to ruin anything. I feel like I should. I don't know. Has it been off long enough?
Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can say something here that. But the guy binge watching it now would he's going to be irate.
This is his warning.
All right. This is your warning. Okay.
Right. Cover your ears.
This is it. This is your warning. Danny, I think
it's been 7 years.
Danny will agree. Cap will agree. Eric will agree. This is your warning, everybody. Okay, this is it. When Hank gets it, man, at the end, it's just
it's great.
It's not great. It's terrible. It was heartbreaking.
TV.
Great TV, yeah. Great TV, but when I had to almost look away. I'm not squeamish. I had to look away. I said, no, it's not going to happen. I can't see it. And when Hank says to him, "You're the smartest guy I know, but you just haven't figured it out, have you?" I mean, it was just Hank's in Better Call Saul. You got to wait up. You're a ways away from seeing Hank. But
so
Hank's in Better Call Saul.
Hank is in The Firm. Did you know that?
Hank, yeah. I think you told me that. He plays
one of the two thugs law firm.
I love it.
And he gets shot in the leg in the Gary Busey's office.
Yeah. I love that character.
When does Better Call Saul get good? Because I started it, and first 3 episodes are like watching paint dry.
By the end of the second season, I'd say you'll really be hooked into it. Maybe not even. By the end of the first season, like everything else, like these shows that are developing characters that are taking time, it takes a while.
Carmen, I'm with you. The last season that was just on was the best written show on TV right now.
Last season
was incredible.
Of Better Call Saul was so good, and they introduced a new character, Lalo Salamanca, one of the cousins' cousins. So if you've seen Better Call Saul, you know the cousins. One of the cousins, Lalo Salamanca, is like, I mean, he's already catapulted somewhere into like my top 5 TV characters of the last 15 years. That's how good he is. And he was just in this season of Better Call Saul. He's so good. And the ending of this year's Better Call Saul was magnificent. Trust me, you're going to get.
How many years of that show?
6 years? How many seasons are we
going to
do?
Still going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 5 or 6. You'll start getting into stuff in better
5 seasons.
5 seasons. Mm-hmm. Okay, you'll get into like the dynamic between he and his brother. It gets so good.
Saul?
Yes, between Saul and Michael McKean, who's great. I mean, just wait. Like, I'm telling you, stick with it. And Danny, go back to it. I promise you. you will love it. Just
the people on Twitch are saying it's a slow burn, which this is my problem with so much stuff to watch and access to everything. I don't have patience for a slow burn.
I want it to get good. I'm telling you, just like dig in because you will not be disappointed for as much as you love Breaking Bad. Mike is in it. Gus is it. They're all. It takes a while, but Yes, they all become central characters, dude. It's Gus. It's Mike. Hank was back in this season. I'm telling you, when you finally get to season 5, Lalo is so good. Just trust me.
Pinkman?
Jesse's not in it. No, not in this. This is all, remember, this is like how he becomes Saul Goodman, you know? So like it's a slow burn is a good way to describe it, but that's kind of the way he wrote Breaking Bad. Early portions of Breaking Bad, people said the same thing, like, it was kind of boring. But these shows that are written like that, that are doing a ton of character development, that are really trying to set up the stories, right? Abdallah's agreeing. Like, it takes a while. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones was tough early on. I mean, first of all, the genre can be tough for a lot of people, like myself included. I've never been a Dungeons and Dragons guy. And then they're introducing so many characters and you know, about the families and the factions. And they hit, like, it's just you've got to let it develop. But I know it can be hard early, but I promise
Karen watched
you.
Breaking Bad?
Yes, and we watch Better Call Saul together. So we don't watch a ton together.
So my wife does not watch any TV. None, unless Legally Blonde's on for the 5,000th time, or Aaron Brockovich, or The Rock.
Gotta be kidding.
Yeah, League of Their Own. Yeah, there's like 8 movies that she'll watch a billion times, but she'll say to me, how can you watch The Bulls from 1997
She's
on
watching
TV?
Legally Blonde.
And I'm like, you're watching freaking Reese Witherspoon for the 400th time in law school.
There's only so many times you got
at Harvard.
Yeah, exactly.
So she would be in the kitchen, but you could see the TV in the family room because there's no wall there. And she'll come over. Who's that?
Yeah, and then
like, that's Gus.
Drives you nuts, right?
What is going on here? Who's the guy ringing the bell? And I'm like, sit down and watch the show with me. No, I'm good.
He's in it. He's in Better Call Saul. You'll get to all the characters.
Tuco?
Yes. Not Tuco. What's the old man Salamanca? What's his first name? I'm blanking on his first name.
Chuck.
Not Chuck. Don Salamanca's in it. Tuco actually is in a little bit. He's
Hector,
not
Hector, right?
Yeah, Hector. Okay. Thank you. Hector right. Salamanca.
Now, can you tell me what movie did Hector play a hitman in? And he gets shot in the head.
I don't know. I'm looking at him now. I mean, he looks so different in the show. I don't know.
The Shooter.
Scarface.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I can picture it. That's right.
He's the one that hangs the guy in the helicopter.
Yeah.
And then he's the one, digame. Digame.
That's a great scene. He's hanging him out of the
helicopter. And then all of a sudden, Al Pacino's like, you think I kill little kids?
The worst accent in the history of movies, Al Pacino and Scarface.
Yeah. But it's such a good movie.
But it's still entertaining.
It is.
I'm not a huge Brian De Palma fan, but it's still entertaining.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just stick with it. That's what I'm telling you. Just trust me. And Danny, you too. Just power through a little bit. Trust me. And you can blow through it now because you don't have to wait. You totally catch up before the next season
starts. Did you hear Tim called in again today?
I did not.
Yeah. He wants to know, how come I'm not harder on Jerry Reinsdorf and guaranteed suck park, he calls it.
Yeah, that's just mean.
He's unbelievable, man. That guy is.
Stop being so mean. Hey, 50-game season. The White Sox are going to go to the playoffs, baby. 50 games. Can you imagine?
We'll see.
They're going to the playoffs, Yerk.
No shot that's happening.
When's that going to start then? September 1st, 50 games?
No. You still couldn't start it November 1st. Well,
I said September 1st.
Or September 1st, excuse me. I mean, you still could start it. Why they're not like rolling this out now when they've got the ability to and dominate the sports headlines is beyond me. They're just the pettiness. And I guess
where do you lay blame? Where do you guys lay blame?
I don't blame the owners. You know me. I blame the owners.
So give me a percentage, owners to players.
I'll say 70-30.
Yeah,
owners.
I'm 50-50, right in the middle.
But the players already conceded to something.
And put a clause in there that they would do more. The owners are getting destroyed.
Why? No, they're not. Then sell your team.
Okay.
They're not getting destroyed. You make it sound like Tom Ricketts has no money. That's
I'm not talking
joke.
About what he has in his personal life. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, there's zero tears in anybody's eyes for
I'm not
Tom
asking
Ricketts.
For tears.
But they're not there anyway. You don't have to ask. You don't have to do anything. There's no tears in anybody's eyes.
I'm not taking sides. I'm staying right in the middle. It's on both of them.
The players already agreed to a pay cut.
And agreed that if there's no fans, we will renegotiate again. Well, that's a fact.
That doesn't seem to be, I don't know how, you know.
That's a fact.
That doesn't seem to be as concrete as you're trying to present it to be.
I mean, I believe Joel Sherman. I mean, I do. But it could have never been presented that way to the players, to be honest. They could have summarily dismissed it and said, you know, I don't know. But to continue to go to them
and ask. I hope it goes away. I'll be honest with you. I hope they don't have a baseball season. Good riddance. Get out of the way.
I mean, can you honestly say that it's fair to tell Mike Trout to play for 15% of his salary?
No.
Go away.
It's ridiculous.
That's why there should be a meeting of the minds. And I'm just afraid they're going to drive the bus. As Jason Stark said, both sides are going to drive the bus over the proverbial.
I'm going like 70-30, maybe even 75-25.
Yeah, I'm 50-50. I'm more against the owners. Right in the middle. It's on both sides.
They've already given them something.
They guaranteed they would give more back.
I hope they don't
play. They didn't guarantee that.
That's
what have the owners given back exactly? I'd be interested to know. What are the owners giving
nothing.
Back?
They're still going to lose.
I'm not asking what they're going to lose. What have they given back? Nothing. They haven't given a thing.
Nothing.
To the players. Nothing.
Zero.
Really?
Really.
That's wrong.
Nothing.
That's 100% wrong.
What have they given?
How about giving you a year of service time, even if they don't play?
Oh,
that will cost them multi.
So sweet.
All right, I'll give you your service time.
You can mock it all you want.
I am mocking it.
You're wrong.
You gave me your service time.
But you're wrong.
I'm still mocking it.
You're wrong.
And I'm still mocking it.
When someone is given a year of service time and they didn't get to it, it gets them to arbitration quicker and to free agency, and they'll get a lot more money.
Yeah,
it will cost them hundreds of millions of dollars.
All that free agency money that the owners have thrown around the last couple of years, they get there quicker. But okay, they gave them their service time. Fair. Okay. What else? The owners are not... The owners will recoup all of this. All of it will be recovered by the owners and then some. They have not passed on their profits to the players. Plain and simple. You had two straight years of free agency where nothing happened for free agents. And they were raking in billions of dollars in profits. I don't know. I'm not even going to say it's collusion. I know Yurko says that. I'm not even saying that. But you were making billions of dollars, not in revenue, in profit. And you passed on very little of that to the players. Very little. That the players should have to bail them out now is ridiculous. And if you can't afford your team, sell it to someone who can. That's what I would say.
Good luck trying to sell a team in this climate.
I promise you there are billionaires everywhere that would, buy a team. I can promise you.
Bezos
there are a lot of billionaires
teams.
Out there that would be more than happy to collect the revenues from BAMTech that the Major League Baseball owners get to split up. It's laughable when people insinuate that the Pirates, who said, "Oh no, we're going to reinvest, we're going to reinvest our money," they don't pay their players anything. They haven't held on to a free agent in how many years and how long? A true star free agent. Oh, we're going to put it into the minor leagues, and then slowly but surely, we're going to totally dismantle the minor leagues. By the way, it's a joke the way the Marlins have been run forever, and maybe now you give them a break because it is new ownership. The way the A's are run, it's appalling. It's embarrassing. It is an absolute joke, and it's a travesty that anybody would think the players are to blame in this situation. But that's where the owners have succeeded for a century, is to convince everybody that the players are the greedy ones, and they're not, and that they're poor, that they're broke, that Tom Ricketts doesn't have money.
Give me
a break.
You have people that are former players, Tom Glavine, Mark Teixeira, who have come out.
We talked to Tom Glavine. Tom Glavine was good. He talked about, but he's not anti-player. He understands the way it looks in the public's eye. He understands that that's the danger for the players. The public's not going to be on their side because the owners have been very good at creating the perception that the players are the ones to blame. And it's a joke.
Testify, Kerman.
You should get Mark Teixeira in.
I don't want to talk to Mark Teixeira.
Because you don't want to hear his perspective?
I've heard it. You've had him on. You've let him come on and push his agenda. Fine. Mark Teixeira is not going to change my mind. What do I care what Mark Teixeira has to say?
Amen. He's critical of both sides.
Amen. No,
not really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, not really.
Pretty much.
Blame the owners.
Pretty much. He's blaming both sides.
Yeah. Blame the owners. They're the ones
to
blame.
And that's where I'm at.
The
owners staying right in the middle.
The owners contribute to his salary now, I guess. So
I'm staying.
Can't blame the players.
It's right down the middle for me.
Can't blame the owners.
All right, I got to go. You guys have
stick around.
You got, no, I'm out of here.
You sure?
Yeah.
Have a good weekend.
Go give money to Tom. Go give some of your money to Tom Ricketts. He needs it. He's poor. Tom Ricketts has
check.
No money.
Call me, Tom.
Oh, baseball
write
owners.
Check.
Baseball owners don't make. I love it. Well, we don't make money. No, no. Sure, you don't. Okay,
I'm out of here.
We don't have money.
All right, I'm out of here. You guys have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday morning. Have a safe, healthy weekend. See you.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Wrapping the week, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. So get out and enjoy it best you can, especially now that everything is starting to open back up. Get out and get some dinner one of these nights. I know you've been taking advantage. You guys opened up a little bit earlier than us, but plan on getting out and getting a meal at one of these beautiful outdoor patios soon. Everything down by me, they're starting to they block off a little bit of the street.
Sure.
Give everybody a lot of space, lots of space, few tables outside, and people have been taking advantage with the nice weather. Last weekend, the places were packed, and I'm sure that will be the case again this weekend.
I'm sure it's a challenge for all restaurateurs trying to operate with only a 25 to 30% capacity and still have the kitchen and all the people and all there and still trying to find a way to turn a profit. So best of luck to everybody
that's
out there trying to get things churned back up again.
All of our favorite places we were giving shout-outs to through all this and encouraging people to order from, and we'd order from ourselves, and all the great Boca Group restaurants that we love, and all the Let Us Entertain You places, Bub City and Joe's and Chicago Cut. It was great just to see pictures of Chicago Cut's patio open and people sitting out there and enjoying it. It's one of the best patios down here in the Loop, or just outside the Loop on the north side of the river. So it is all good to see, my man. Todd Furman's going to join us in an hour and 10 minutes. Vegas is starting to reopen, and we can talk about lines and how they might be adjusted now that these leagues have announced their plans to come back. We don't know what the hell's happening with baseball. We'll get to that in a second. But the NHL is going to come back. The NBA is going to come back. And Caesars lowered the odds on the Brooklyn Nets from 750-1 to 60-1. Because now there's a chance with basketball going into September and October that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both play.
So Durant's Achilles, is that what it was? Or was
Durant's
it
was his Achilles.
Okay.
Yeah, remember how he tried to come back on that calf injury and then it just popped in that final game, remember?
Yes.
He got off to a good start, too. And then you could just see that that was it. It ruptured. Now, maybe who knows, Yurk? I mean, you'd know better in an injury like, not that you had that, but you certainly have a pretty good familiarity with these types of things. He might still be a year removed from really being Kevin Durant, but with the possibility of Irving and Durant coming back and being healthy, Vegas is adjusting. Caesars told ESPN.com, director of trading for Caesars. His name is Jeff Davis. He told ESPN, I would rather be cautious and deal 60-1 than get hurt when we hear news that Durant and Irving are returning. I don't want to post 150-1 odds. Problem is you take a couple of thousand and it pays $300,000. You're stuck if Durant is back and he's good. So they lowered it all the way down to 60-1.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. They want to protect themselves from exposure.
Right.
They probably don't have 1,000 tickets at 750-1 on there. A couple $10 flyers maybe or a $20 flyer on that type of number. Nobody in their right mind was betting on that if the NBA season was going to be a normal season.
Because he wasn't going to play.
Right.
And then Irving
season,
got hurt, remember?
Yeah. They're coming
Who's
back.
Who's even coaching the Nets right now?
Well, Kenny Atkinson's gone, and they have an interim guy, right? Who is it? I can't even, off the top of my head, let me look interim real quick. Because they fired Kenny Atkinson.
Is it Chuck Daly?
Chuck Daly's dead.
He was a member. He was a coach of the Nets, though.
Cross him off, then.
He was a member. He was a coach of the Nets.
Did he coach the Nets before he coached?
You don't remember? After Detroit, he coached the Nets.
Danny knows him. Kansas star Jacque Vaughn.
Oh, Jacque Vaughn.
Jacque Vaughn is coaching. There you go.
Chuck Daly did.
Chuck Daly
in the early
90s. Did he go? He left Detroit and went to the Nets? Why don't I remember that?
You don't remember it. I do. You're welcome.
Are you sure?
You want to make a wager, a friendly wager? Friendly wager, Carm.
No, I'm going to trust you.
But why can't we do something friendly? It's NBA basketball.
Right.
You think I'm talking smack? I'm telling you, I know.
Did he go after Calipari left or something? Or was he like...
Will you look?
Wow, I didn't remember
Just
that.
Take all a look.
As usual, you're
right.
92 to 94 before he went to the Magic.
I remember that. Look at you, Yurk.
You're welcome,
I want to know how you pulled that.
I was watching Petrovic highlights, and I saw that Chuck Daly was the coach when Petrovic passed away.
Man, I do not even remember that.
Willis Reed, I think, was part of the front office at that point, too.
No kidding.
Yep. That's what I'm here for, well, guys. But it's not Chuck Daly, it's Jacques Vaughn. So now
Jacques Vaughn, yes.
Jacques Vaughn.
So. Because Kenny Atkinson was relieved of his duty. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, who would have thought that we'd get to this point and they could still be playing? The Nets could be playing well into September with the, you know, in the playoffs. And
so then, what are we looking forward to?
Well, I love the idea of the return here and how they're structuring this. So you've allowed, you know, you're allowing the Pelicans a chance to make the playoffs at the very least. You know, 8 seeds don't historically do very well. Let's face it, we know that. 7 seeds, 6 seeds in the NBA don't historically do very well. But who among us wouldn't sign up for even just a few, 4 games of LeBron James versus Zion Williamson if the Pelicans somehow move up and grab that 8 seed? Would everybody sign up for that if you're a basketball fan? I think so.
I think you'd be happy to watch that.
I'd be very happy to watch it. And it gives the Pels a chance. It gives the Blazers a chance. Even though they were the one team to vote against it, they didn't vote because they didn't want a player. They didn't appreciate the idea that they can now make the playoffs. They thought there were better options on the table, I guess. But, yeah, how'd you like to be LeBron and Anthony Davis and maybe have to run into Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum in the playoffs and a healthy Yusuf Nurkic? And Zach Collins, how'd you like that? Again, ones normally dominate. I get it. But it could make for some interesting basketball and a little bit of fun come late September, come September at some point when these playoffs do begin. So I like it. I'm okay with the idea of a play-in tournament. That's the other thing. If the team, I don't think it's going to matter much in the East. I mean, it might. But let's say the Blazers or the Pelicans are within a couple of games of the Grizzlies. Then you'll have this play-in tournament to see who gets that. Mm-hmm. And this could be something that the league wants to do going forward. It adds revenue. It adds games, right? More TV money, more gate, all that stuff that they like so much. They like making money. Good for them. Now, you could also say, I think in Adam Silver's mind, it could be a deterrent from tanking because it can allow you to make the playoffs. I don't know how eager teams are necessarily to be 8 seeds because it's not like the NHL. In the NHL, that makes a lot of sense. In baseball, you get in, you got a shot. Football even, maybe. How often do we see 8 seeds make deep runs? I think there's only been like 3 8-seeds that have ever won one series, right, let alone make a deep run. It just doesn't happen in the NBA. So I don't know how much it dissuades teams from tanking. But just as a basketball fan, if teams would take it seriously, the idea that you could get a little like sort of mini tournament before the actual playoffs start, I think is pretty good. I would not be surprised if the league tries to push this in going forward permanently, that this is something they want to do. And I also think the calendar is going to change, Yerk. I think, and it's good. Don't compete with the NFL anymore.
Don't have a problem with it.
Play in December. Opening day, Christmas.
Let hockey have October, November.
Thank you. Football dominates. Let hockey have its thing. And then you roll in on Christmas Day. Boom, here we go. Opening night in the NBA, opening day, you got 4 games on Christmas Day. That's the way they should do it. Do you like the schedule here that the NBA has come up with? And are you in favor of a permanent change to the calendar? 312-332-3776. Anybody that would like to still chime in on the events of the week, feel free to do so. We have given everybody that opportunity all week long to share their voice, their opinion. Been a tumultuous week, to say the least, but we're here if you still would like to talk. There's still continued fallout from some of Drew Brees' comments. Charles Barkley had a little bit of the opposite reaction, saying that it's overkill right now. In a few minutes, we'll play Sir Charles and some of his thoughts. I think they were doing an NBA on TNT sort of Zoom chat last night. And Charles, who's always vocal and not afraid to speak his mind, shared his thoughts. We will play those coming up. But ring us up for sure if you still want to talk. 312-332-3776. And you can hit us up on Twitter. Yurko is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J. And I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Good kid shot a 43 yesterday. Nicely done. Thank the game heaven. Is rounding into shape.
Finally felt like a golfer.
Yeah, 43. You kidding me?
Had a birdie on there, too. So it was nice. So we played from the blues, so we had a nice little distance in there, too.
That's good, man.
Well, we didn't play from the whites. We had, you're talking legitimate 420-yard par fours out there.
Oof.
Yeah.
Those can be challenging.
Challenging. The nightmare is what they are.
Do you remember back, I mean, like, that used to be, if you ever saw 420, you couldn't believe it. Now it's not even uncommon for amateurs to have to play at 450 yards. These guys, how many par fours do they play on the tour that are less than 450 yards these days? It's like hardly any,
unless you're in the Shotmaker's course.
Yeah.
Unless you're at one of those Shotmaker courses
actually,
that's been limited.
Colonial. What they're doing now in most courses is they make one hole, one par four, really short.
Right, to drive at it.
To drive. But there's a huge I guess if you don't get the perfect drive, you're in trouble usually.
Yeah.
Right. So there'd be water left right. or yeah. there'd be something off right. to the right-hand side.
The risk-reward, you got to weigh.
Right.
James is in Rockford on ESPN 1000. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. I think the Bulls are honestly getting kind of the shaft here because here's my opinion on the matter. I don't think much differentiates them from someone like the Washington Wizards, what, two games or something like that? But then on top of that, not only are you eliminating them right away, but, you know, what kind of lottery is going to happen this year now that college didn't play March Madness? You don't actually know who the best players in college are. So you get eliminated from the playoffs, and you arguably are entering into a lottery for a subpar draft. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I think all teams that got eliminated this year are getting the shaft, but especially teams like the Bulls that are, you know, two games away from like the Washington
that
Wizards,
threshold, that yeah, right. The Bulls were just a couple of games outside of that threshold. James, thanks. I wouldn't worry too much about how they are going to draft. I guess I always
the analysis has been going on for at least a year and a half.
That's true. Yurko's right. I mean, you've had scouts watching these guys for quite some time anyway. And college basketball did still get to play its season,
full season.
I mean, we were into the conference tournament.
They shut down literally the Monday before, the week before. They said we're not having a tournament.
Correct. So they played their season.
Right. They were actually doing basketball games, and then they'd shut one down right in the middle of the basketball game and say, okay, we're done.
Like in the A-10, right? They were about to take the floor, and they're like, we can't do this. And so I wouldn't worry about that aspect as much. The Bulls weren't going to close the gap on the Magic. It's unlikely the Wizards are. The Wizards just happen to be the beneficiary of the rule because they wanted the teams out west. The NBA would love to see Zion make the playoffs. The NBA would love to see a potential play-in series featuring Ja Morant and Zion Williamson, the two best rookies in the league. The Blazers, with, you know, while they're buried down the Pacific Northwest, you still have a superstar in Damian Lillard that could play even if it's just one round of the playoffs. One round. The NBA is smart to structure it this way. They were looking at the West. It just so happens that the Wizards are the beneficiary. The Bulls weren't making any noise. They were not closing the gap. And as Bulls fans, do we really need to see them on the floor?
It means they were eight games out.
Yes, they're missing by two.
Yeah.
That's correct, Yurko.
So all teams within six games get to play.
Correct.
Yeah, yes, you were close enough, guys.
You weren't, and it doesn't matter.
And the Bulls have enough time to implement the system if they don't start till next November. They can get their coach, whoever their coach is going to be, they can bring him in, and they can work their guys the way they want to work them here over the summer. And then, so their system that they're going to run with whatever coach they hire is going to be implemented over the course of a lengthy period of time.
Thoughts on the NBA's return? If you like the structure, the schedule of all this, do you think a play-in tournament going forward permanently is a good idea for the eighth spots in both conferences? 312-332-3776. Plus, Charles Barkley talks about Drew Brees, and we'll play you his reaction to it coming up next.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Don't forget, we're up and running on Twitch, twitch.tv. Download the app. Go online. Make sure you watch us in the studio. Yurko's back down here. Waddle comes back a week from Monday. Twitch.tv, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie a little bit later on. 1 hour from now, our guy Todd Furman out in Vegas. I put the poll up on Twitter, at Carmen DeFalco. Would you like the NBA to permanently change its calendar to start in December? So vote online, at Carmen DeFalco on Twitter. Yes or no, as simple as that. This was Charles Barkley talking last night about his reaction and his thoughts to Drew Brees' comments early in the week. Here's Sir Charles.
Well, it was a very interesting day for me as a guy who's a talking head on television, who's not on television. Drew's original statement, I thought, was insensitive. It was very insensitive, especially during this time. But I thought the negative reaction from every talking head on television and some of his teammates was overkill. I've never heard a bad word about Drew Brees in my life. He made a mistake. But we've gotten to the point in society where everybody on social media thinks they are God, judge, and jury. Drew Brees made a mistake. But I've watched very closely today because I want to come on TV because I didn't know you were going to ask that question. But just in case you did, hey, Drew Brees was wrong in his initial statement. But the level of vitriol, anger, and things like that, I thought was overkill. Drew Brees, whatever he said, I thought he talked about, hey, the flag means different things to different people. But I thought the way he was portrayed on television and radio today was not fair at all. Drew Brees has done some amazing things in New Orleans and his life. I'm not even talking about football. He made a mistake in a statement. But this level of we've got to kill everybody who says something we don't agree with, I'm never going to go with the mob. I want to make it clear. I did not like what he said right away. But the vitriol and animosity and hatred he just got for the last 24 hours, I thought it was overkill. That's just my personal opinion.
I thought that was summed up well by Charles. I very much agree with his overall points there. Should this come to define Drew Brees, a guy who, as far as we can tell, and I guess whoever really knows, but as far as we can tell, has been an upstanding citizen that has done a lot for a lot of different people, a lot of different cultures, a lot of different races in the city of New Orleans throughout the course of his time there. Shouldn't that be remembered? Are we to only remember Drew Brees now for something he said that was polarizing and maybe insensitive just in terms of sort of what's been going on in the country, not just this week, but for quite some time? I mean, I don't think it should come to define Drew Brees. The minute we played Drew Brees' comments on the air, I think that was on Wednesday, I gave you my opinion on it right away. I don't agree with Drew Brees. But like Charles, I also think that it wouldn't be fair long term if this truly came to define him. But we do live in a world now, man, where, and it's good for people to have a voice, but boy, oh boy, so what social media has done, like to me, it's the wrong type of empowerment. Empowerment's good, but the social media now has just become a place where you have to call for someone's head or you're not doing your job or you're not doing your civic duty. And I don't think things are supposed to be that way. I love protest. It's good, man. Protest is good. It's what this country is all about. But the idea that you have to get up and just shout and call for people's heads constantly over everything, I don't think that's right. And I think Charles summed that up quite well, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree with Charles. Yeah. Well said.
I thought it was well said indeed. This was Drew Brees's, he issued another apology about all this too. It's obviously weighing heavy on him. This was his Instagram video last night.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better. And I will be part of the solution. And I am your ally.
So that was Drew Brees on Instagram yesterday. If you'd like to weigh in, please feel free. Again, this week has been a lot about this and a lot about people voicing their thoughts, their opinions, their feelings on a variety of things in terms of social justice, social reform, and some of the events of the week. So please feel free, 312-332-3776. Joe is in Chesterton on ESPN 1000. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. I hope you both are doing well.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I just want to talk about the NBA. Mm-hmm. I think they are very smart with what they did about the 13 teams from the West and 19 from the East. Look, we all know that the NBA is a business, and viewership brings in revenue, and viewers want to see Zion and Ja potentially go against each other. I get that. And I secretly think that Reinsdorf and Arturas hoped for the case where they were not invited. That way they can potentially get rid of Boylan this weekend or early next week and get a head start on the coaching search. What I want to talk about is the potential for the new NBA calendar. I feel like this new calendar starting in December 1st.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it'll be a test run to see how it goes, because we all know that baseball can't get their stuff together with going back and forth from the financial point of it. So I feel like this is the NBA's way of saying, hey, look, we can capitalize on viewership in July and August.
I think they're going to try to make the best out of a bad situation this year, to say the least, Joe, and then see if it's worth changing their calendar, because some very prominent owners, including Mark Cuban, have been a proponent of it for a while. So I agree with you, Joe. I mean, I think that's a lot of what this is about. They're going to do this as a test, see how it goes. I think their ratings will probably be pretty good.
I think people are starved for sports.
Well, we're still a year away from seeing what the impact is like for them to play into the summer, you know, like next June and July. Let's see what that's like.
I do believe people are starved for sports. Yeah. Anybody who gets up and running has a chance to go ahead and capture the market.
Yeah. That's why it'd be nice if baseball got its head out of its you-know-what.
Right.
You know.
It won't, but it's fine.
It's crazy. I mean, they had a golden opportunity here, you know. Eddie's on the north side on ESPN 1000. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Okay. I mean, talking about implementing a system, I've been calling here for 3-4 years of the way the draft should have been changed in Major League Baseball to NBA. At the end of that season, the teams that don't make the playoffs, the team with the best record out of them that tried their hardest to do something should get the number one draft pick in baseball also, because if that happened, the Cubs wouldn't even have won a World Series, because they wouldn't have been able to tank 100-game seasons in a row. And then the fans wouldn't have to suffer going to games where they know they're not trying. And it's better all, even for the betters, it's better. You don't even know what's going on when teams are tanking.
So
are they going to win this fight? Are they going to try?
It's like reverse order. I hit the wrong button. Yeah. Eddie, it's like reverse. Instead of going, 1 through 14. What is it? There's 16 teams that make it. So 1 through 14. You do it the other way. The team that almost made it still gets the higher pick, and maybe that incentivizes teams a little bit more. I think they've thought about all of this in the NBA.
In baseball, as far as that's how Houston got to where Houston was.
Cubs, Houston
bottomed out. Kansas City had bottomed out at some point. Kansas City went to the finals 2 straight years, right?
Went to the World Series 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row.
The White Sox tried it. Hopefully it works. The Tigers are trying it now. I mean, these leagues are copycat. Once it works wonders for somebody, they all start saying, if we're really bad and we problem load up is, on good draft picks.
Problem is, when 10 teams are tanking, there's only one number one pick.
When you're out in front of it, it's good.
Yeah. But when everybody's doing it, it's no good.
I don't know that Kansas City was tanking. Kansas City just refused to spend money. One of those poor baseball owners that's got no money in Kansas City. And so they refused to ever spend or ever pay. And because I don't think it was there was any idea of tanking, they just sucked. Because of the way they were run. And they were picking high in the draft every year. And before you knew it, they had, oh, look, Alex Gordon. Oh, look, Eric Hosmer. Oh, look, Sally Perez. Oh, this guy, that guy. I don't even remember all of them. But I mean,
Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah, Lorenzo Cain. There you go. Thank you, Yurko. Oh, look, Cain.
Shocked.
Good job. And all of a sudden, you had a really good team.
Yeah.
And then what happened when they won and it came time to pay them? Bye. See ya. Yep. We have no money. We're broke.
Everybody's
we just went to the
gone.
World Series two, yep. years, in
two
a row,
years in a row.
No, make no mistake.
Well, they've got the money. They're not going to spend the money.
We have no money. I don't own a baseball team to make money. I do it because it's fun. Sure. 312-332-3776 is the number. We'll do some trending and take more of your calls next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Mm-hmm. The Noon Hour is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Never been a better time in history for a cash-out refinance. Get pre-approved today. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com. Before we go back out to the phones, Mark, you want to do a quick trending for everybody here and tell us what's hot on social media?
Sure, I can do that, Carmen.
Thank
How are
you? You. Doing very well. How are you, Mr. Merkel?
I am doing well.
All right.
So what's trending is brought to you by Trend Micro. I don't have the read with me today, so we'll just leave it at that.
Number one in cloud security, right?
That's right.
There you go.
So let's see here. Matt Ryan has started fundraising for the Atlanta Black community.
Good for Matt Ryan.
Jarrett Stidham has started small throwing sessions. He right now is still the starting quarterback right now from the New England Patriots, right?
Some think Brian Hoyer is going to win the job, but my guess is it's going to be Jarrett Stidham, yeah.
Do you think if Brian Hoyer wins the job, are they basically just saying...
No, I don't think they're saying anything. I think he thinks he can win 10 or 11 games with anybody, to
Same way he did with Metcalf.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I think he believes that much in himself, and he might be right. We're going to find out.
Okay, and real quickly, birthdays today, Carm. Celebrity birthdays. One of your favorite musicians, Kenny G, is 64.
God, I know. Love that Kenny G, man, yes. I tell you.
He's a good golfer, actually.
Very is Kenny golf. G a good golfer?
Very yeah. good golfer,
oh,
yes.
Yeah, right.
yes.
Loves
very,
to play golf.
Very good at his iron jerk. And one of your favorite actors, and I think Yurko loves him too, Mark Wahlberg, is 49 today.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I find him entertaining.
Yes.
A huge fan of Mark Wahlberg. I told you just last week how much I have enjoyed rewatching The Fighter, which for whatever reason I haven't watched since it was in the theaters 10 years ago, but it's been on cable, and I watched it last week one day, and I was reminded of how good a movie it was. I love Mark Wahlberg in... what was the, they called the Deepwater Horizon, I think, right? About
yes, yes.
Yeah, that
yes.
was fat. I loved it. Absolutely.
He was great.
Down in New Orleans.
Malkovich was great in that. You wanted to grab
guy.
Him and shake him,
yeah.
you know, smack him around.
You want to punch him in the face.
Oh, my God. Did
yep,
you ever?
Yes, you did.
I loved that movie. Yeah, he's terrific in Boogie Nights. Huge fan of Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, real a couple other birthdays. Robert Kraft is 79 today.
Happy birthday.
I know how he's celebrating.
Former Blackhawk Dave Bolin is only 34. Could that be right?
No, he's got to be a little bit older than that.
Guys, I don't know. I'm
2010. Well, 22 and 2010?
That might be the wrong. They might have the wrong year down here.
I don't know. I bet you Dave Bolin could be close to that, though, no? Dave Bolin, forever part of Hawks history, NHL history.
And
when he scored the game winner after Bickle tied it.
Boston.
Against Boston in 2013.
And Carmen Yurk, on this day in 1991, Michael Jordan did this.
The look away to Livingston. Jordan. Oh, a spectacular move by Michael Jordan. That's 13 consecutive field goals. And a timeout has been called.
The tongue is out. Something bad about to happen to the Lakers. It's Michael Jordan taking off for the deuce. It almost looked as if he remembered the slam dunk competition from a few years ago and starts out with the flying one-hander and says, no, I used that one already to win the slam dunk. Let me change up and entertain a little bit right now. Woo! He liked it himself.
One of Jordan's iconic moments, game two against the Lakers.
Boland is 34.
34,
yes.
There you go, see? Sean's in McHenry on ESPN 1000. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. So one of the things that I think is getting lost with Drew Brees and others asking for people to stand during the national anthem and standing for the flag is that they're not, people are viewing it as them, as those people asking them not to protest. They're not asking people not to protest, just find a different form of protest than, because the flag stands for more than what they're protesting against.
Well, but who are you or anybody else to say pick a different form of protest? You find a protest that works, a protest that gets people talking. I mean, that is the point, Sean.
It is, but I think that's what they're asking for because they feel that the flag stands for more than what they're protesting.
I know, but again, and I think it's important to remember, Sean, thank you, he is not protesting the flag per se. I mean, it's got nothing to do with people who serve, let's put it that way. And to say that that flag stands for more, well, maybe in his mind it doesn't, that it's a sign in his own country he feels oppressed. That's why he decided to do it. It's got nothing to do with insulting servicemen and women. That's not what it's about. But in his mind, that flag is representing an oppression that should not exist because of the color of his skin. So that's why I believe he originally started the protest, and that's what he was going for.
Thank you, Sean, for your thoughts.
Thank you, indeed. Where am I going next? Taylor's in the city. This is Taylor. Hey, Taylor. Uh-oh, Taylor. Your phone. Hold on, Taylor.
No,
something
right.
Wrong with your phone.
Clear him up.
Hold on. Let me try again. Taylor, you there, bud?
Hello?
Oh, there you go. Okay, you're better. How are you?
Doing well. Spot on with your response, Com. That was exactly the response needed on the radio station for your listeners to understand about the flag and our issue with Drew Brees' comments. I called for a separate reason. We're talking about an NBA draft, and Yurik, I think you would appreciate this. I'm a huge fan of international football or soccer, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And I think the NBA should just get rid of the draft in general. I think you get rid of the draft, you get rid of teams trying to tank for positions. I think it creates a better experience. I know people say, well, then the rich will get richer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the case because I don't think teams like the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks will pay up to a scale to pay a rookie because there is still a salary cap.
Yeah, you got a cap.
So I do think if you allow rookies who can flourish on various different teams, I think it's better for their careers. And for an example, Stacey King always says this. He's like, only person that stopped me from scoring was Phil Jackson. So that system doesn't work for him. Why should he be forced to go play for a team with his skill set? And then also, too, from that perspective, I think the cap protects this, the rich getting richer.
Well, it does. You're right. Yeah, Taylor, you're right about that.
You're not going to overpay rookies.
There's not as much of a disparity, obviously, compared to what the great disparity in baseball is because there isn't one. Taylor's right.
Taylor's talking about the transfer process over in Europe.
Explain that a little coming up. You can do that, all right? So they don't do a draft like in the
NFL, there's no draft. What they do is they've got scouts all over the world. They've got their own academies. They sign players at young ages. They bring them in, work them in their academies, but they find players elsewhere.
Would something like that ever be adopted? If you've got thoughts on the NBA's return, more on the week that has transpired for all of us, and you still want to talk, we got a lot of people that want to do that. We're here for you. 312-332-3776. Thoughts on Barkley's comments and how he put it and his reaction to Breeze's comments. All that, plus Todd Furman in about 30 minutes. We're back in 2 minutes.